God, you are holy. Father, we cry out holy. God, we thank you that your Son Jesus makes us worthy to be, to even be in your presence. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us, that guides us, that draws us to you. God, I pray that today we would remember how holy and how awesome you are, how much honor you're due. Father, I pray that today, as we sit here through the rest of service and as we sing our last song at the end of service and as we leave these doors, that we would cry out holy, that we would live a life that is holy, that we would seek you and want to be more holy, that we would want to walk in your presence each step of our life, that we would want to be set apart and drawn closer to you. Father, I pray that as we continue through the service, that you would start shaking us and molding us, Father, for that. God, we love you. We honor you. Thank you, God. Be with us this morning. Allow us to be an encouragement to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you to the music team. Who's enjoying this beautiful weather? Isn't it great? I was saying I'd take a little more snow, but I'm not going to complain too much. Snow's fun in this warm weather because sometimes you can throw snowballs at your wife and get in trouble. How come Ryan, the single guy, is laughing? And he knows that it's fun, right?
That's right.
I don't get laughter when I throw them at Stacy. I get a snowball back at my face. I don't throw it at her face. I try to throw it at her back, but I don't have real strong aim. And oftentimes I'll catch her in the head or in the ear. I hit her once, and nobody's happy after that. So I'm not a baseball player. I need to work on the aim. So the more snow, the more opportunities to aim, is what I think. Because I don't want to throw rocks, right? Because that's the only thing I really can practice with is a rock or a baseball. And I don't want to throw a rock at my wife and catch her in the back of the head or something. That would get me in a lot of trouble. Nobody's laughing. Target, okay, I can do that. She's my target. No. I know what all the guys are thinking. You want to laugh, but you know you're going to get in trouble. So I'm going to stop talking there. So we're in our fourth week of Advent, and we've kind of gone through this whole Advent journey, and I really kind of enjoy talking about it and really not lambasting you guys every week, but giving us some stuff to talk about. So this is your 4 weeks off where I'm not going to beat you up too badly. You're safe, maybe. So the first week we talked about hope. And if you remember that message, we talked about the hope that we have in Jesus, the hope that we have in Christ. And we celebrated communion that Sunday. And it was a really, I like celebrating and kicking off Advent. I like kicking off the Christmas season with communion, because some people might think it odd, but it's the reason we really, communion, the death and resurrection, Jesus is really the big reason why we celebrate his birth, isn't it? Like, that's, without the cross, without what happened on the cross, he's just another guy, isn't he? Well, the cross, I don't want to use the word defines, but it really defines our purpose for celebration of Christmas. It gives us hope. And then we had Lyle quickly share about love, and we had Shelley and Peter talking about the love for the people and what they're doing there in their mission field where they're at. And we started taking up that love offering for our single moms. To be able to purchase those gift cards. And that was a tangible way we shared love. And Christ shares love with us each and every day. Christ shared his love when he died on the cross for us. And then last week, we looked at the third candle, and you really got to experience some love towards me when I shared some wonderful, funny jokes with you, and we shared joy together. And I don't know if you remembered, you got to hear some jokes from each other, you shared jokes, and we just got to experience joy together. And we had our Christmas banquet together, and we had joy. And today we're going to celebrate peace. And not talking hippie, dippy, 60s peace. Who do, Bill, were you one of those? No? You don't have no long hair and tie-dye shirts? John, you were, weren't you? We're not talking about peace like that, though. And in a sense, yeah, peace. But, you know, right now, our world is not a peaceful world. People around us are, it's not even that the fact that things are in an uproar, but people are looking for an uproar. People would rather look at negative stuff. They would rather look at what's going wrong than look at the peace that Christ brings us. They would rather look at what's might have gone wrong at some point in their life rather than focusing on the peace that Christ brought, the promises he brought, the things that he brought, the goodness. So today we're going to celebrate peace. See, sometimes people hurt other people. Have you ever been hurt by someone? Nobody? A few of us, right? Maybe? But see, the difference between people and God is God brings peace in all situations. God brings peace to the hurting. God brings peace to the hopeless. God brings us peace. Even though we're full of hope already, we're full of joy, we're full of love, and we need that peace in our life. And during Advent, we pray that we are a people of God's peace, don't we? I want to be a person of God's peace. I want to bring peace into every situation that I go, every room that I go. I want peace to follow. I don't want to bring in war or battles or fights or discord or any of that. I want to be a person of peace. And I think that's something we should all want. We want to be people of peace. So when we think about it now, I don't have candles. Forgive me. We have one beautiful candle that Elaine remembered to turn on, or light, we'll say light, to light this morning. The fourth candle, which if we were lighting candles and doing that whole process, we would be lighting the candle of peace. And we remember what the angels told the shepherds about the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, in Luke 2, 13 to 14, when we read this, it says, "Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" Who does that speaking to, that peace? Who's that speaking to? Speaking to us, right? And peace on earth. We're on earth. It's for us. Because when we live according to his plan, when we live according to his purpose, when we walk in his blessings, he is pleased with us. He wants us connected to him. And when we walk connected to him, we get to walk in peace. We don't have to walk all down and out. We don't have to walk and live in this battlefield. We can walk in peace. Now, I know a few weeks ago I said, yeah, there's stuff going on around us all the time, but we walk in hope and victory because Christ fought that battle for us. So when we're walking and we're not fighting, we're walking in peace, aren't we? Around us there's battles happening, but we're not in the battle. We're not fighting it physically. Christ won the battle already at the cross. So we can live a life of peace. So peace on earth. So I want us to do something here together. And I want us to just say this part, the glory to God. Can we read this together from Glory to God? Because I think some of us hear the words. Some of us may have at one time said the words, but we don't actually believe the words. We don't believe that we should have peace. Some of us believe that we should be living this beat-down life. Some of us think we should be living this war. We should be living like a war-torn Rwanda country. That's the only country I can think of that was war-torn. Yugoslavia. I don't know. But we act like we're Yugoslavia, some war-torn nation, when we are supposed to be living in peace. Peace on earth. So can you guys read this with me? From Glory to God. Ready? Glory to God in the highest heaven. On earth. Who is God pleased with? You! You! God is pleased with you! And I think we need to that reminder. And if nothing else, I hope that today, that is a reminder that God is pleased with you when you walk according to His plan, according to His purpose, according to the person that He has called you to be. You live a holy life. He is pleased with you. And when you live according to what He has for you, you will live a life of peace. And we keep reading in Isaiah 9 to 6, and it says, oh, you're quick on that now, Nora. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, I want us to just pause there again and talk about this and think about this. So, when I read this scripture, I don't read this as, for a son was born to those guys down the road, and he's for them. But this says right here, for a child is born to who? Who? It's born for you, right? Us, right here, in this room, in Rosetown. A child is born for us. Now, I got to word this right. I'm just going to word it, okay? Are you okay with that? Yes. I'm not going to give you a choice anyways. See, the problem is this. So many of us forget about that us, and we start thinking about the us, and we say, well, man, things would be so much better if I didn't have so-and-so as my prime minister. Things would be so much better if so-and-so, I'm not saying names, you know who I'm talking about. So-and-so wasn't our president. Not saying names, but you know who I'm talking about. So-and-so, it would be so much better if so-and-so wasn't our premier, or so-and-so wasn't the premier of Alberta, or things would be so much better if so-and-so wasn't our mayor, or this guy wasn't our counselor. And you start living like you're under their authority. But the fact is whose authority does the government respond to? The government will rest on his shoulders. That means that he holds authority over them. Yeah. No, but the fact is, this government here holds no authority over us. We don't yield to this authority on earth. We're to a much higher authority, aren't we? And that's what I'm trying to say. That's the purpose of this. It doesn't matter anything that's going on here on earth. Our authority is Jesus, right? And that's what matters. I hope that's clear. The government will rest on his shoulders. Yes, and Nathan's absolutely right. It is a heavenly authority. But that authority is over earthly governments. He holds authority over this earth, doesn't he? The kingdom of God is, when we pray for kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, don't we? And that's what we want. Now, right now, things aren't ideal. We have too many people not living in his kingdom, not walking in his kingdom. And we need to start walking in his kingdom. Because he is our wonderful counselor. He is our mighty God. He is our everlasting Father. And he is our Prince of Peace. And we need to remember that. We need to stop living as if we're defeated. We need to stop living as if we're down. And we need to start living like he is the Prince of Peace. And then if we keep reading Colossians 3:15, it says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." We need to let Christ's peace rule our hearts and not let unrest, not let fear, not let anything else rule in our hearts. Because when things are going wrong, that's what starts really ruling us. Peace starts going out and we start letting fear rule us. We let anxiousness rule us. We let anxiety rule us. But we need to let Christ's peace rule our hearts. We need to let Christ's peace direct us. We need to let Christ's peace guide us and direct us in all things. Like I said, today wasn't going to be a long message. But I really just wanted to, encourage you that we need to allow the peace of Christ to lead us and guide us and direct us. So the question is, what is peace? And how did Jesus bring peace to the world? And we're not going to dive deep into that this week, but I want you to spend time with him, getting to know him, reading scripture. Because when you read that scripture, when you spend time with him, he overtakes your life. And when you're spending time with him, you're focusing on his goodness. You're focusing on the peace that he brings you. And you allow him to wash over your heart and him to bring peace to your life. So we're going to pray, and then the music team's going to sing one last song. Would you guys stand with me? Father God, we love you. God, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, you would bless us, Father. And I pray that we would stand in your authority over our life. Father, that we would let peace reign in our hearts, and that we wouldn't allow fear or depression or any of that other junk creep in, and that we would stand on you and your word and your scripture, and that we would live a life of peace. That we would just walk in your goodness. That we wouldn't let life shake us and rattle us, and that we would just remember your goodness. So Father, we love you and we thank you. And God, for those that are going to be traveling to their families in the next couple days, Father, we pray that your hand would be upon them and your protection would be upon them, Father, and that you would lead them and guide them, God. Give them opportunities to share your goodness and what you've done in their lives, Father. Jesus, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you guys sing the song, and then Mary's going to close in prayer.